Hit Breakfast Show. This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Let's not waste any time today, Carly, and get right straight into the letter. Tomorrow, B for Bravo.
Okay. My favourite American TV network.
Really? Bravo. I'm going to go with name me a language.
I'm scared. I know the one that's come to mind, but I don't know if it's a language. I don't think it is a language. I think I'm about to embarrass myself.
Okay.
I was going to say Brazilian or...
No, they speak Spanish.
Belgian?
No, they speak... Oh, what do they speak? Far out. I know. No. It's not that one. Oh, we're looking for Burmese. Would have been a good one there.
Well, I'm glad we're giving this answer away because I feel like that might trip a few people up.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we hear a Brazilian tomorrow or something like that. But anyway, that's for you. There's your answer.
What's,
and hopefully,
what's the language again?
Burmese.
Oh, no, that's Siamese.
Yeah. From the cats from Lady and the Tramp that were very problematic and almost got cancelled.
Oh, are we cancelling cats now? Well, actually, yes, cats.
No, because they're like, have you seen it? I recently rewatched it. I'm like, oh, that is a lot of stereotypes going on there, Disney. How dare you?
Speaking of cancelling things, Pepe Le Pew.
I liked him, but
well,
I totally get the problematic attitude. You know, going over after a cat, wasn't he? He's a skunk and he's obsessed with a cat and he's just trying to.
And
just
remember when everyone cancelled cats' buttholes?
I'm still on board with that. I love cats, but, you know, Winston's got a real fluffy butt, so I barely see his butthole.
I'm talking about the movie when they CGI'd out all of the buttholes because they thought they'd be too
offensive. On the show Cats, on the movie Cats.
They removed all the buttholes. But there is the butthole edit that you can get your hands on if you're into that kind of thing.
Welcome to Carly's personal life, and only she would know that. Enjoy the podcast, and she'll be enjoying Cats, the unedited version, you freak.
Alan Allworth. Guitar Zero.
We're taking your guesses on 131060 to what song I could be playing. Before I even replay it, I just want to go to Jody in Esperance right now and just get a feel of what she was thinking that I was kind of playing. Jody?
Morning, guys. Look, I honestly have zero idea, mate. I just wanted to call and let you know that, look, your guitar playing has improved immensely. That was quite beautiful, real touching. And maybe next week we might be able to guess it.
All right, whoa, whoa, whoa,
I love that this has turned into a performance review.
All right. Let's not wait till next week. let me have another chance at it. Before we continue, Carly thought it was this song for some reason. Lean on me. We are not strong. Dead wrong. Absolutely not. Let me have another go. Give me another chance, Jody, please.
All right,
here we go. All right, Jody, you're on the line. So just, you know, if we hear you weeping in the background, we know what's happening.
I've got my tissues ready.
Yeah, me too, in case no one gets it, because then I will cry. Here we go. That was what better than the first time, let's be honest, guys, right?
It was.
Any idea, Jody?
You think you know what it is. At the start, you think you know what it is, and then you keep playing, and you're like, well, no.
That's where my head's at. I thought I knew off the bat. Like, it's something.
it's definitely something.
It's a song.
Well, look, there you go. Alan, it's a song. Lock that in. Jody?
Someone's got to call and help me out here, because I feel like I nailed it that time. Honestly, I was moved a little bit. I was getting emotional.
It did sound better the second time, didn't it, Jody?
It did, yes.
So, Jody, you don't have any other guesses? No, they didn't come up with anything in that time?
No, sorry. It was beautiful. Let me Shazam it.
That is a throwback.
Jody, obviously not getting it. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning.
Ryan, what song do you think I was playing there on the guitar?
Hey there, Delilah.
Hey there, Delilah. Oh. Well, let me tell you, Ryan, you're 100% correct, mate.
Oh, it's what you do to me.
Ryan, I mean, I nailed it the first time. I didn't even need it the second time, did I?
Nah, you nailed it both, mate. I had it straight away.
Yeah, 100%. Ryan's just busy, obviously, doing his job. Bit too busy to get on the phone, but thanks, Ryan, for helping me out. Appreciate it, mate.
No worries.
And, Ryan, guess what? Dedicating that song to you for helping me out and getting me out of a tough jam. So I appreciate it. Ryan, have a good day.
You too, mate. Cheers.
There you go. Yeah, just that easy.
Is it?
Yep, 100%. Ryan, you? Yep, I'm sure he knew straight away, 100%. Big Brother is continuing tonight at 7:30 on Channel 7 and 7 Plus, kicking off the brand new season. And, of course, this big moment from last night.
With one vote, it's time to go Josh.
I got one thing to say. I don't know if you remember, but on our first date, I told you something afterwards, and it was a quote from my favourite book. It said, desire is desire. The sun will not bleach and not the tide wash it away. And it's still there.
Josh joins us now. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, gang.
That's a bit of a tempo change.
There's a change
there.
Yeah.
Josh, first and foremost, can you explain for this very simple girl what that quote actually means?
Yeah, great call.
Oh, it's from the book The Beach. It means, like, it's never ending.
Oh.
Essentially.
This is a love thing.
Yeah.
It was a love thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, Josh, can I just ask you, because as someone that was watching the show, I don't know if it was the way it was edited, but it kind of looked like you were kind of randomly into Sam. I know you guys had shared some history, but Big Brother didn't really detail that. So it kind of made you look a little bit like you were kind of chasing her around.
I'm glad you said that,
not me.
Honestly, it made me look like I had about 10 personalities. Like, this is what annoys me, right? It was my idea to put Sam on the show. They approached me for the show, and they said, would you do the show? And I said, I can't. My best friend's dying of cancer, and I'm one of his two primary carers. Mm. And I asked him, I was like, Jeffy, they've approached me to do this show. And he was just like, well, he'd send me and Sam together, like, a few months beforehand, and she stayed a month, like a week, and he was just like, dude, you seemed really happy, so why don't you get them to put her on the show? Because we weren't allowed across the border at that time. And I said, genius, Jeffy. So I pack an overnight bag. I go in there, and I was just like, I'm just going to hang out with her and show her the type of person I am. But I'd set it up with her the whole time. Like, we pretty much acted pretending that we didn't know each other.
What? So you, okay. Whoa. Bombshells.
Yeah, so bombshell.
Okay, let me get this straight. You and Sam planned with Big Brother to go in the house, and then you were acting?
I hustled Big Brother to put Sam on the show.
Right.
And then in mine and Sam's conversations before we went into the house, which we weren't technically allowed to have, but I was just like, I wasn't going to approach her to put her on the show unless I thought it could be part of our love story. So I'd actually called her before they even confirmed her, and I said, hey, I'm going to pitch you for Big Brother, pretend you don't know, essentially.
Right.
But I wasn't going to leave my mate dying of cancer unless I thought that I had a chance. But I just guessed that, like, yeah, it just didn't quite work out as planned. And there is the edits. You know, like, no. What they show is me crying a lot, but it was 2 days before I went in. Like, they take your phone off you the day before you go in, and my mum calls me, and she's like, I don't know whether or not to tell you this. And I was like, what? Is Jeffy dead? And she's like, no, your granddad's just had a stroke. And
I just thought,
because I don't want to be a D-grade celebrity and miss the opportunity of saying bye to people I care about.
Can I ask about your mate, Jesse? How are they now? What's the situation with that?
Dead.
Oh, my God.
He passed. Yeah, actually, I always fall apart when I talk about it. But
That's hectic.
That is a tough.
Did this happen
situation.
Outside the house? Did you get to say goodbye at the very least? Please tell me you did.
Yeah,
thank goodness.
I mean, it was great. Gave his eulogy, and he was 61. Like, we had an age gap, but he was like a dad to me.
Josh, obviously, yeah. Well, that kind of explains why you were highly emotional
100%.
In the house. You know, we obviously, as viewers, did not know that. So thank you for kind of sharing that. That definitely creates some context to that.
Appreciate the chat.
Thanks for letting me explain that I'm not a complete psycho. See you guys.
Well, we had a new staff member start yesterday, Alan, and they did the thing where, you know, it's always a bit awkward where they take them around and introduce them to everyone.
Yeah.
And I did not put my best foot forward.
I did okay. Normally I'm a bit awkward, but like, because I don't know, I'm like trying to like gauge their sense of humor. I'm like, are we going to be on par? So I normally crack an early joke to see like if they giggle or not. It was all right. I just kind of like threw a bit of shade at you guys and then try to, you know, dig myself out of a hole. And then I like left it in that awkward situation where I was kind of okay with it, you know?
Because
I was like, oh, you need anything help with the computer here? Like, I can do it. Then I'm like, oh, wait. As I said, I'm like, oh, wait, Carly knows how to do that too, kind of. I'm like, oh, well, Carly can help as well. And I'm like, and then producer Bailey sitting there looking at me going like, I can help too. You can't help Bailey. Nice try, mate. Absolutely useless.
As this is all going on, there's a lot going on between your funny bands, producer Bailey.
We're getting plenty of time to stand around our desk.
So I'm kind of sitting with my back to my desk, and I notice over my shoulder he kind of quickly looks at something and looks away.
Yep.
And I'm like, what's caught his eye? And I turn around, and there's two six-pack of Coronas at 10 o'clock in the morning sitting on my desk.
Yep.
And now let me explain and give some context to this.
Carly's an alcoholic and it's the same place.
Breakfast beer.
Breakfast bevvies, you call them?
Breakfast bevvies.
You're always calling them. I'm just like, oh, where's Carly? Oh, she's just pulling off her third breakfast bevvy.
Well, you know, whatever gets you through the day.
Yeah.
So what had happened was I go to Trivia Night every Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are the reigning champs. So what happens is when you are the reigning champs, not only have you got amazing bragging rights, but you get some vouchers. Now, we always saw that the vouchers were to spend at the bar. But what we didn't realise was they weren't to spend at the bar. They're actually for the bottle-o downstairs.
Oh, so you mean like accruing mass vouchers?
Yes.
Yeah, smart.
So Liz, who organises the quiz night, she's been saying, you know, what do you want to do with these vouchers for a long time now?
Yeah.
I've kind of been like putting it in the too hard basket. And then one day she's made an executive decision. She's like, I'm just going to buy Coronas. That keeps everyone happy, and she messaged me and said, I've left them on your desk.
Now, good move by her, Bart.
Good purchase. Move.
It's a easy purchase. Most people are pretty happy with Coronas. Me, I find them awful, but for the most part, you're going to please the majority of people.
Exactly right. It is a people-pleasing beer.
So they're on your desk.
On my desk, but I've just left them there because, you know, it's awkward carrying them. I don't know. I was like, I'll deal with that later.
That's your whole gimmick right now.
I know, it really is avoidance. Yeah. So anyway, cut to 10 o'clock in the morning, meeting this new staff member, him kind of glancing over at the beers.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of me explaining this, which is a long and boring story that you all just had to sit through,
yep.
I decided to offer him a breakfast beer.
Ah, nice.
Where I was met with, no thank you, and then a walk off. No context has been explained to this. So I'm like, is this my new precedent with this new staff member? That this is the unspoken thing? That I enjoy a breakfast beer each day, or do I clear this up?
I say lean into it. I say, why stop there? I say really, really get into it, you know? And just like, let's just have some fun and see how far we can take it. I'm happy to push this. I'll just cut part of this breakout and just send it to him.
What about me talking about how I enjoy breakfast
absolutely.
Beer?
Yeah, I can put it all out of context.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think we've set a new precedent here.
Okay, well, I look forward to...
Should I send him a calendar invite for, like, the new staff event?
No, just send him a rogue text message at night, and that'll really do it. That's how you really win him over, I think. That's what I'm going to have to do. Real talk for half a second on the show about mental health and how it pertains to the FIFO life. We know that it's not going away. We know it's a problem that everyone's now talking about, which is great. We're finally having those conversations, including our next guest, the FIFO mental health guy, Lockie Samuel. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, team.
Yeah, pleasure to have you on, man. I understand you're doing some great things to actually address this ongoing problem.
Yeah, I feel really grateful to be in this space as a former FIFO worker who went through mental health issues and had, you know, family, friends affected by mental health because of the industry. So I feel really blessed to be in this position where I now get to go back into the industry and work with different companies to help them sort of change that mental health culture.
I can imagine that the fact that you've been in their position, that they can relate to you. Is that right?
When I go into these places, you know, thinking about myself being a FIFO worker and someone externally coming in, it was always like, who's this person with a clipboard? Who's this person doing this presentation? Why should I listen to them? And so initially when I come in, I get that sort of response, you know, like the walls are up, the fences are up, people are frowning when I'm talking. And it's not until I tell my story and my experience within FIFO and I'm super raw and vulnerable with it that they actually allow some of the stuff to sink in, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, wow. And I imagine you've been to a ton of different sites in WA.
Yeah, man. That's pretty much all I do now is just travel from site to site.
Yeah, wow. And I imagine on top of that, you got a lot of people who are benefiting from your chats.
Yep. So one of the cool things and my favorite thing about going to different sites is actually after every presentation I do, I make space for one-on-one conversations, which is like the most beautiful thing about it all, because every single conversation, one-on-one I've had so far, every single person has like shed a few tears or just cried.
And Lockie, in your opinion, having gone to so many different sites throughout WA now, what do you think the main battle that FIFO workers have that they're battling against?
At the moment, the one thing that comes up everywhere I go, no matter what, is the phrase, I've never told anyone that before. So there are a lot of people, we think about 100,000+ people within FIFO across Australia, have everyone who's in this place where they don't feel comfortable to speak about something that they're really, really struggling with to the point where they cry with me. Yeah. I think that's probably the biggest issue, is just that stigma and not being willing to open up and be vulnerable.
Yeah. Is there any tips that that people can take on, not just only while they're, you know, on site, but also when they get back into their home life? Is there any kind of things that they can use in their lives to try and battle this depression?
Yeah, I think the most important thing for people to do is to understand how to manage their stress, because with that, we're less likely to go into this place where we're on a perpetual loop, right? We're just constantly compounding our stress and get to that point of depression. But for a lot of FIFO workers, what I'm noticing is that we tend to avoid hard/courageous conversations.
Lockie, obviously you're doing amazing work in this area. What is it about this industry in particular that, you know, makes it so important to stay on top of your mental health?
It's a male-dominated, very masculine, stoic industry, which is why people don't feel comfortable to open up. So I think what you have to understand, especially if you're jumping into FIFO or if you're in FIFO and you're struggling at the moment, is you really have to be okay with receiving criticism, being within a culture that has a lot of banter, not taking it personally. And if you do take it personally, understanding how to, again, like manage that stress and have hard conversations so that you're not just letting it fester and becoming super frustrated until you eventually blow up, which is what happens a lot on site.
Yeah, you've been doing this for a little while now. Have you noticed a change in culture when you refer to like those classic male stereotypes?
Yep. Well, when I got evacuated for mental health issues in 2017 from a place called Wheatstone, mm-hmm. and at that point we weren't really talking about mental health. So now we're at a point where a lot of people will come to me on site and want to have those conversations. So it's getting better in terms of people reaching out, but it's also getting better in terms of all these different leaders, health and safety officers, and businesses as a whole, like looking for mental health education to help their people.
Yeah, that's great, and I love to hear that. If you want more information, then go to your website, LockieSamuel.com, or just Google the FIFO Mental Health Guy. Thanks so much for your time today, and really good work that you're doing, man. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Alan and Carly, speed mating!
Can we be friends? Big announcement yesterday, Carly, yes. From yourself.
We're heading to Port Hedland next Tuesday to host a revolutionary speed mating event. So basically, it's people that want to find friends. So think speed dating, but yep. Take the dating out of it and put mating in there. And by mating, I mean friendship, looking yes. for friends.
Yeah, nothing sus. You can apply right now. Hit.com.au is the website to go to. It is a free event. Yep. Buy you a couple of drinks and you can have a few nibblies while you're there and have a catch up with some people, have a chat and hopefully make some friends as well. Hit.com.au. Just jump on the win section for our Port Hedland listeners.
Yeah, and Alan, I am a little bit nervous that it is just going to be me at a long table at the Walkabout Hotel by myself. So I thought, you know what, I really got to convince people here that they want to come along. I really have to get them over the line. So I thought,
although the idea of you being by yourself, I mean, I'll be there to laugh at you because no one wants to rock up and be your friend is, I actually kind of enjoy that.
Well, Alan, I thought, you know what helps when it comes to, you know, flogging stuff and trying to get people involved?
Yeah.
And that is a celebrity endorsement, as we
I'm
know.
I'm not endorsing this. Nice try, mate. You've already got my name in the title.
I don't need you because I've gone straight to the top. I thought, who knows friends?
What do you mean?
I have got, get this, Alan, this is huge news for Port Hedland and for our event.
One sec.
I have got Matt LeBlanc to exclusively from Friends, aka Joey, sign on to be our spokesperson for speed mating. Alan, roll the tape. Here's an exclusive interview I did yesterday with him about this. Hey, Matt LeBlanc. So you heard about speed mating and you wanted to come on board as a spokesperson.
Thanks again. You were really kind. How are you doing?
Yeah, right, I guess. Hey, what should I wear to the event?
Dress as a cowboy.
Between you and I, though, Alan's a little apprehensive about the event.
Oh, come on. It'll be fun.
Hey, just quickly, while I've got you, how many claps in the Friends theme song?
Five. It's five. I'm the one told you life was gonna be this way.
I don't know about that, but I'll let you have this one. Well, you did mention you couldn't make the event, which unfortunately that sucks, but I do appreciate you coming on as a spokesperson.
Thanks again. You were really kind.
Huge, huge news. Matt LeBlanc is, legally I can't say this, he is...
he has been badly edited into an interview?
No, he is going to he's all for it, all for the event. I did get a cease and desist letter calling him a spokesperson. But anyway, so Matt LeBlanc's on board. So come on, Port Hedland, what else do you need?
Hit.com.au is the website to go to. Walkabout Hotel, cold beer, good food, good vibes. And Joey from Friends, maybe.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast.